heaven.
Well, good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. In fact, we're going to begin with military schemes this morning. Instead of merely presenting what's happening in the news or what I happen to receive by way of emails that I can share with you, I'm going to try to explain why these things have happened, what it means to you, and hopefully provide a new and different perspective for you to consider. During our second hour, as usual, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah teaching. If you're an atheist agnostic or you're one of the thinking folks who has still been beguiled somewhat by religion, and you know there's not something that's just not quite right with it, this is going to be the best part of each day's program. Now, our phone number, should you like to question, and especially should you like to criticize, since this morning I'm going to hit a lot of hot buttons, or if you wish to even affirm something that I say or just engage in the conversation, it is 877-300-7645. Yesterday, I received three copies of an email that was making the rounds, and it gives me the opportunity to expose one of the great, most crippling, most beguiling myths in our society. This myth is regarding our military. There are lots of people listening now that will probably become angry with what I have to say. But I would like those who can, or who at least are open to thinking about a different perspective, to consider what you're going to hear this morning. This email came out under the headline, Rules for the Non-Military. And from this person's point of view, there are two classes of people. There are the military who are the elite, and there are the non-military who are who should view the military as being superior beings. It's kind of like the Nazi mentality. If you're an Aryan, you are superior. If you are not, you are inferior. This man's view of what is superior and superior is military involvement. That is not to say, however, that he is not a racist. He is a racist. His second point is make sure you read point number 13. Point number 13 is a swipe at Hispanics. So the author of this is a racist. Now, he is probably also a sexist. And the reason I say he is probably always also a sexist is that his writing style is definitely masculine, not feminine. And so it is a he. And I have, over the last year, begun to study the corruption in especially the U.S. military, where we find that 80% of women in the U.S. military are sexually abused. That you are not only three times likely during the 4 years that you would be in the military to be physically abused by another member of the U.S. military, the comparison is actually a woman is three times more likely to be abused during those 4 years than a woman is likely to be abused during her entire lifetime outside of the military. So the actual ratio is about 20 times more likely. In other words, sexual abuse is 20 times more frequent in the U.S. military than it is in society at large. All right, so we're going to go through this, and as I say, I'm sure that I'm going to ruffle some feathers, nonetheless, I think this perspective is important for you to consider. And the last thing I would like to share with you is a perspective on this, that if you are a patriot, you aren't welcome in heaven. God is very clear. The first requirement for participating in His covenant is to walk away from your country. And by that, He means to walk away from patriotism and from politics, as well as to walk away from institutionalized religion. This letter continues, Dear civilians, We know that the current state of affairs in our great nation has many civilians up in arms and excited to join the military. For those of you who can't join, you can still lend a hand. Here are a few of the areas where we would like your assistance. Now, before I read these things, one of the things that the great deceivers of who lead our nation have been extraordinarily good at, and there's most things that the government does it's extraordinarily bad at, but one of the things that it's extraordinarily good at is creating deceptions that cause people to want to join the military. In World War I, for example, the sinking of the Lusitania was specifically arranged by the U.S. and British governments in conjunction with J.P. Morgan to create a uproar amongst Americans where they rallied and couldn't wait to sign up to go and kick some German behind for that terrible atrocity of sinking the Lusitania when the sinking of the Lusitania was arranged by the United States and Great Britain. With the Spanish-American War, we arranged to sink the Maine to create the same kind of fervor. In Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin incident that was used to enrage American passions against the North Vietnamese did not happen. And everything you read about the attack on Pearl Harbor tells us that we knew it was coming, and we did everything in our power to make the carnage as great as absolutely possible so that FDR could inflame the rage of the nation. And so when we look at these things, you look at George W. Bush and all of the lies associated with the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq, blaming 9/11 on Al-Qaeda when the government knew that it was not Al-Qaeda, that the plot had come from the Philippines, and Ramzi Youssef was the author of the plot. We already had him in prison. And that the plot was staffed out of the Al-Qaeda mosque in Hamburg, Germany. But that there were ulterior motives for wanting to invade Afghanistan, and so the president did. And then he came up with the lie of the mushroom cloud and the weapons of mass destruction is the reason and justification for invading Iraq. And the people, oh yes, let me join the cause. I'll go after those so-and-sos who flew planes into our buildings not knowing that nobody in Afghanistan had anything to do with it. No one in Iraq had anything to do with it. But America is very good at deceiving its people so that they willingly not only give up their freedoms, but they want to go off and kill. So as you read this, for those of you who know that our current state of affairs and our great nation has many civilians up in arms and excited to join the military, that is what the government does to beguile people into doing what we should not be doing. All right, so here's what he wants the lowly civilians to do on behalf of the U.S. military, on behalf of his great country. Point one, the next time you see any adults talking or wearing a hat during the playing of the national anthem, kick their, I'm going to say behind until producer Scott tells me that I can say the word that he actually said. The next time you see any adults talking or wearing a hat during the playing of the national anthem, kick their behind. So, in his America, you either are patriotic or you're going to be beaten up. That's his view of freedom. That's his view of free will. You either love this country and despite all the horrible things that it's doing, or we want to make certain that you're physically abused. Point two, when you witness firsthand someone burning an American flag in protest, kick their behind. The reverence for a flag is a direct violation of the second of three statements that Yah etched on the first of two tablets. If you revere your nation's flag, if you see it as something that you should show respect and honor to, you are in direct violation of the second of three instructions on the first of the two tablets. Regardless of the rank, this is point three, that they held while they served, regardless of the rank, regardless of the highest amount of excuse me, what, regardless of the rank they held while they served, what I'm not, what I was thinking here but didn't say, is regardless of whether or not they even left an office in this country to go off and do anything other than push papers around, pay the highest amount of respect to all veterans. So put veterans on a pedestal, highest amount of respect in society. Don't respect maybe doctors that can cure somebody of a terrible disease. Don't respect the fireman that perhaps saves a child from a burning building. Don't respect the policeman that risks his life to save a civilian. Pay the highest amount of respect to all veterans. If you see anyone doing otherwise, quietly pull them aside and explain how these veterans fought for the very freedom they bask in every second. Enlighten them on how many sacrifices these veterans made to make this nation great. Then hold them down while a disabled veteran kicks their behind. Let me tell you something. This is one of the great myths that needs to be shattered. The American military has never fought for American freedom. The freedom that we hold today was absolutely not preserved by anyone living in the military today. When we fought the Revolutionary War, two-thirds of Americans were opposed to it. And it was fought with militia, with volunteers, not with the U.S. military. When we fought the Indians, we were not fighting for American freedom. We were stealing land that belonged to others. The Mexican-American War, same thing. Spanish-American War, same thing. The only claim that could possibly be made that someone in the U.S. military actually fought to preserve American freedom, because they sure as hell didn't do it in World War I, nor in the European theater of World War II, is the Pacific theater of World War II. But even there, the Japanese had no designs nor any capability of ever invading the United States and occupying it. Oh, yes, there were a few hundred troops in Alaska to prevent us from using that as a base to bomb Japan. But that was it. More of Shattering Myths after the break. If you wish to challenge what I'm saying, 877-300-7645. This is Yada, and welcome to Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. This morning we're changing up the format just a bit, and rather than considering the news, I'm considering a letter that I hope provides a different perspective for you regarding patriotism involving the way that one looks at the military. Point three of the letter that that I had received three copies of, incidentally, yesterday. Says that we should not only give veterans the highest amount of respect, which is silly, but that in addition to that, we should realize that veterans fought for the very freedom that we bask in every second. It's one of the great myths that not only is the military personnel indoctrinated in, they're all believing out there that they're fighting for our freedoms, but it's beyond that. It's also the same that the country is indoctrinated in, so that we spend over 100 times more per capita than does any other country in supporting our military. I should say 100 times more than the world as large does per capita in the support of our military. We spend more on our military and the spine in association with our military than the rest of the world combined. And so there is this myth propagated by government that by doing so, we are protecting American freedoms. And yet, you can't come up with a case where that is actually so. You know, during the Vietnam War, the vets would always complain that that, you know, here we are over here protecting Americans' rights to free speech, and there they are in America besmirching what we're doing in Vietnam. Well, anybody that was besmirching the individuals that that had been drafted to go to Vietnam, that was a immoral and grotesque and inappropriate thing to do. And anyone that treated them poorly when they arrived, grotesque and inappropriate thing to do. It was not their choice. But if you did not, and I'm, by the way, I'm a victim of this. I was in support of the Vietnam War, which means that I bear the burden of being deceived, of being wrong, because all that war did is sacrifice the lives of millions of Vietnamese, tens of thousands of Americans, and billions of dollars, making a bad situation worse. And so, if you look at that war, there is absolutely nothing that even could have been accomplished. Forget about was accomplished, because all we did was make a bad situation worse. But there was nothing that could be accomplished in terms of protecting American freedoms by engaging in that war. Nothing. And yet the myth was still perpetrated that those over there fighting it were providing the very freedoms of those here in America who spoke against it. I wish I had been one of those at that time. I was not. And so it went off to the Gulf War, where those who said, this is stupid. This is counterproductive. We ought not do this. And then the invasion of Iraq, where I was at least at that point on the forefront and did 3,000 radio shows that don't do this. This is counterproductive. This is suicidal. We're going to make a bad situation worse. And indeed we did. Thousands of American lives, $4 trillion, 900,000 Iraqi lives, making a bad situation worse, giving Iraq to Iran. And yet those in the military and those in support of the military would say that they were fighting for the very freedom for me to oppose that war. There was nothing that happened in Iraq that would do anything to preserve any freedoms and liberty in America. America has been and continues to be impervious to invasion in terms of a country from outside deciding they're going to occupy the country. And so long as we don't totally cripple the Bill of Rights whereby Americans have the right to bear arms, the country cannot be occupied. Can you imagine having a foreign nation decide that, you know what we're going to do is we're going to occupy the state of Texas? You know, that lasts about a month, and so many Texans would shoot the occupiers that they would do what all occupiers have done in the past to say, you know, this isn't possible. They can't do this. We're out of here. We're living in a myth. In fact, it's our military that is making us more vulnerable because we're spending $650 billion on it a year, in addition to all the supplemental funding that because we have the ability to project a force, we are projecting a force, and therefore we're engaging our military where it ought not be. And so we're bankrupting the country, making it less secure by the very military that these numbskulls think is providing our security. Number four, if you were never in the military, do not pretend that you were, and this is the guy doesn't like you to go off and the war reenactments. He doesn't think that is an appropriate thing to do. It happens to be, I think, an interesting hobby. I'm not personally into it, but I have no issue with it. But if this individual would have you get your behind kicked. We'll return to shattering myths after the break and consider point 7 on the list. 877-300-7645. Hello, welcome back to the first hour of the Shattering Myths program. We're going to jump to point 7 on this military man's list. Point 5 and 6 were just a dribble. It says, the next time Old Glory, by the fact that it's called Old Glory, you know where he's going, the U.S. flag, prances during a parade, get on your damn feet, pay homage to her by placing your hand over your heart, quietly thank the military and a member of the military, a veteran, lucky enough to be carrying her, of course, for what you have done for us. Failure to do either of these should earn you a severe behind kicking. By the way, I'm told that I can say what he actually wrote and not be in violation of FCC rules, but we're going to clean it up just a bit so we don't have to carry a PG-13 rating. Yeah, it's very explicit in the second of the three instructions that he wrote on the first of the two tablets. And he said that any image, particularly an image that carries stars on it, symbols of heaven, that you show homage to, that you in any way defer to, that you bow to in the sense of what this guy, paying homage to, is something that he considers very corrupting. He does not want us to engage in religion or politics or patriotism because those are misplaced loyalties. The moment you take this mindset and you think that your government's military is providing your freedom, the moment you think that your government is providing your sustenance and your health care and your economic opportunity, the moment you become reliant on a national entity like your country or your religion for your soul, you have no opportunity to know God or to enter heaven. You are absolutely precluded from that. You know, the first statement of the covenant is to walk away from your country. The country in Abraham's case was Babylon, which God goes to great lengths to describe as being the seat of religion, patriotism, militarism, politics that he despises. And the last statement that Yahusha makes relative to what he wants of us, what he is seeking from us, his will for us, is to walk out of Babylon. Come out of her, my children. He's speaking of religion and politics and all of the satanic deceptions associated with these things. Point 11 is last but not least. I don't know why he says last but not least. He has 13 points here. Whether or not you become a member of the military, support our troops and their families every Thanksgiving and religious holiday that you enjoy with your families. Please remember that there are literally thousands of soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen far away from home wishing they could be with their families. Thank God for our military and the sacrifices they make every day. Without them, our country would get its behind kicked. No, it wouldn't. If we had a military 10% the size that it currently does, we do, we would actually be more secure. If our military were stationed in America, we would be more secure. Scott?
I like the fact that, like, you know, I have friends that are in the military, and, you know, on, you know, Veterans Day and stuff like that, I'll give them a call and everything like that. But what this guy just basically said is that without the military, we as a people are absolutely nothing. And that he is the one that, you know, they protect everything for us. What makes America America is that the people, your average person, has the same say as everybody else. I mean, you can have some guy on the street who just wants to talk, and he has that right. That's something that is given by the people. It's not the military that gave us that right.
No, this guy wants no freedom. What he wants is you either capitulate to his view that that it's men carrying guns that have been trained to kill and to destroy, that those people are responsible for the country, and without them the country would be nothing. Well, and that if you don't agree, they want to make certain that you are physically abused so that you will capitulate. Sounds like Islam to me.
He wants a military. What he's saying to you there is that he wants a military state. He wants the military to be a step above
correct
everybody else there.
It's what happened in the Soviet Union. That's what happens in North Korea. The military is a step above. If you're in the military, in Nazi Germany, same thing true. If you were in the military, you were a step above. And if you were not in the military, you were a step below. It is what he wants. The thing that bothers me the most about this is on your religious holidays, thank God for our military. God hates everything associated with nationalism, with patriotism, with nations' militaries, despises them. And so to associate what this person is doing is the same thing that most Americans do. is they combine their religion, their patriotism, and their politics as if they were one and the same. And when you blend these things together, boy, you really get beguiled and corrupted in the extreme.
Well, everybody thinks they do things in the name of God. God wants them to succeed, right?
And they do. Most people are killed in the name of a religious god. Whether it be Allahu Akbar, they're killed in the name of the Islamic God. Whether it be the Crusades, and they were and killing took place on behalf of the Catholic God. People kill in the name of their God. The problem is that the religious God has nothing at all in common with the actual God. And the actual God wrote on those same tablets, don't make a practice of killing. He told you, don't do this. And yet, those who would wrap military, patriotism, politics, and religion together see God playing an active role, actually blessing that which he said he is absolutely opposed to. So you can't be informed and rational and make a statement, thank God for our military. You have to be ignorant of who God is and what he said, and irrational to make that statement.
So that guy wants, his God wants him, us to send people out to wreak havoc on people, kill people, do everything like that?
Yep. Well, you know, our invasion of Iraq left 900,000 people dead. And in the process, we gave Iraq to Iran. Now, somehow, this guy would probably say, boy, we in the military, we really did a fine job there. You know, in Afghanistan, once we leave, it will be as if we had never been there except for all the blood that we spilled and the coin that we spilled in the process. In Vietnam, what, 55,000 Americans died, millions of Vietnamese died. We squandered billions of dollars, and in the end, we left Vietnam worse than we found it. Tell me how God would say, boy, you guys are doing such a great job. I really want to bless your military. Think about it. Even think about the Pacific Theater of World War II, which arguably is the most vulnerable argument to what I'm saying here, because the Japanese did bomb Pearl Harbor. They killed 3,000 Americans. And yet, even though America was a sitting duck, and even though America did everything they could to say, here, why don't you destroy our entire fleet and all of our airplanes and kill as many people as possible, because we're going to set this up so that we ignore all of the evidence that you're attacking, and we're just going to let you come right in while all of our boats and our ships and our planes are all lined up for you. We lost 3,000 men. To avenge their deaths, in the Pacific Theater alone, we sacrificed 300,000 more Americans. I want you to tell me how sacrificing 300,000 Americans was a rational way to avenge the lives of 3,000 slain.
And even if they did get Hawaii, isn't there still like 4,000 more miles for them to come before they get to us?
It's
4,000 miles of nothing but open water. Like, you could probably see them coming.
They had no intent to invade Hawaii. Their only intent with Hawaii was to cripple the American Navy so that it would not hinder the Japanese oppression of the Chinese and the Philippines and other nations that they were attempting to occupy. And you can say, well, if we hadn't engaged in the war, the Japanese would still be occupying and torturing Chinese and Koreans and Filipinos. No, not the case. You know, we didn't have to go to war with the Soviet Union for them to for their desire to occupy all of Eastern Europe to fail. It is essentially impossible for a occupying force to prevail over a long period of time. It's no country can afford it. Just trying to do so will bankrupt you, and the cost of trying to suppress people and occupying people exceeds the benefit of doing so. There is no advantage of doing so. There is no means to do so. It would have failed on its own. Now, that's not to say you just don't do anything, but the notion that we sacrificed 300,000 more Americans and that we killed 50,000 women and children in Japan by firebombing their cities every night there is no way to say, boy, that was really the proper and good and moral response to what happened on Pearl Harbor. I'll go on here. It says, go ahead.
Before we go on, you did say you did support the Vietnam War.
Yes, I did.
So what made you support that? Because at one point in time, you had to be patriotic, and you had.
Yes, I was. I was an evangelical Christian. Yeah. I was a ruling elder in the Presbyterian Church, probably the youngest at the time in history. I was a trained evangelist. I was a very active Republican. I hosted Republican political candidates at fundraisers. I mean, I was extremely pro military. I was all of those things. And then somewhere along the way, something was triggered. For me, it just happened to be one little word, and it's a story that we'll have to take up on another program, but it was one word where I found that it was mistranslated in my copy of the Bible and then in all Bibles, and I began to question the translations, and then I began to question the religion, and then I began to question my country. And when I began that process, what I found is, so long as you are genuinely interested in the evidence and you have an open mind, and if you are relentlessly rational, logical in your pursuit of the truth, what you find is that our nation and our religions have beguiled us, and that God has nothing to do with our nation, nothing to do with our religion, and wants us, in fact, to leave them. And so the more I studied, the clearer the picture became. We'll return to Shattering Myths and maybe even to this explanation after the break. Again, I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Our number, 877-300-7645. To the final segment of the first hour of Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada, and you can join us at 877-300-7645. Scott asked a good question during the last segment, which is, you know, you used to be the flag-waving patriot, pro-military. What's changed? And I'm going to tell you that the thing that should have changed all of us is Vietnam. And the reason it should have changed all of us, I said I was pro-Vietnam War. I bought the domino theory. I bought that our troops were there protecting our freedom. I was opposed to all of those who were opposed to the war. But how do you continue to hold that position after the fact, where you know that we sacrificed 55,000 American lives in Vietnam, millions of Vietnamese lives. We bombed the country with napalm and with Agent Orange. We took down a government. We put up a puppet government that was more corrupt than the government we took down. And ultimately, in fighting that war, we left the country worse than we found it, at the sacrifice of all of that money and blood. And yet, the thing that really got me on Vietnam was the University of Virginia. I have a home back east as well as out west. And the University of Virginia, for the first time, published the phone conversation between LBJ and Defense Secretary McNamara, where LBJ says, you know, this Gulf of Tonkin mess that we used to get Congress to justify sending troops to Vietnam. It didn't occur. We know now it didn't occur. So what do? We tell the American people in Congress it didn't occur and that the whole thing was a lie? And do we now withdraw from Vietnam? At the time, about 500 Americans had died. And LBJ says, I can't do that because America will never forgive a president that withdraws in defeat. And so for his political reputation, another 55,000 Americans died for nothing. And when you come to realize that, if you can't come to grips with that, that was wrong. If you've studied Islam as I have, and you recognize how stupid it was for us to invade Iraq and how we made a bad situation worse and how stupid it was for us to invade Afghanistan, where we also made a bad situation worse on wars that could not be won. And if somewhere along the way it says, wait a minute, this is wrong, then you're not being rational. I then spent a considerable amount of time where I studied every single American war. And what I found is a common theme. Almost all of them were supported initially by a lie, just like our invasion of Afghanistan, like our invasion of Iraq, like our invasion of Vietnam, like World War I. Started absolutely by a known lie by the President of the United States. And then we made bad situations worse. And so when you study the history, when you become aware, if you're willing to be rational, you recognize that the mindset that's being perpetrated here is invalid. And then once you come to understand Yah's Torah, as we will in the second hour of this program, you go a step further and you recognize that God wants us to be opposed to the wants us to see the failings in them, because the choice that he has given us is we can rely on human institutions or we can rely on him. The choice is never both. This man concludes by saying it's the Vietnam veteran, excuse me, it's the veteran and not the reporter who has given us freedom of the press. That's not true. He says it's the veteran and not the poet who has given us freedom of speech. That's not true. It's the veteran and not the community organizer who gives us freedom to demonstrate. That's not true. It's the military who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag. That's not true. And one more, his point 13. If you ever see someone singing the national anthem in a foreign language like Spanish, kick their ass. He's a racist on top of everything else. If you get this email and you don't pass it on, guess what? You deserve to get your behind kicked. I sent this to you not because I didn't want to get my behind kicked, but because I know you will not be offended and you are proud to be an American and you will forward this also. Thank you. We live in the land of the free only because of the brave. It is hogwash. It is untrue. It is propaganda. That's why God wants us to walk away from these things. This is Shattering Myths, 877-300-7645.
I've seen the longevity products work for many others. And so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day. But Aaron Dykes in my